Friends, could we take another look, a brief look together at that 1 Peter passage as grown-ups and indeed as young people again, and this won't be a long drawn-out sermon. And what I'm really aiming to do here is just extend what we've already seen with the little ones and extend it into our adult lives as well. So please, if you're able to grab that passage and pop it in front of you, I'm just going to move this laptop so I can see what's on the screen. Brilliant. And Sarah, which button do I push to advance it? Great. Awesome. Thank you. Let me read those words to us again. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. I wonder how many of us are fans of that British folk rock band from about a decade or so ago, Mumford & Sons. Any fans of Mumford & Sons? Yeah, a few nods. Yes, maybe a few reluctant, a few closet listeners from time to time. You know, banjo. What's not to like about a banjo? Anyway, banjo and guitars and male vocals. And you might remember their tracks, Little Lion Man and album Sigh No More and Wild Am I. Anyway, one of their songs, whether you're a fan or not, it doesn't really matter. One of their songs, I think it presents a challenge to us as listeners. I think that's what it's trying to do. Or perhaps it's just a confession of vulnerability. Vulnerability. And what he does, the singer does, is he tears back the cover. He rolls away the facade of his life for a moment and he opens himself up, I think, to God. I think that's what he's doing. I don't think it's a song to a lover. And we're invited for a moment to examine all that he holds most precious and everything that he holds most dear, and to consider what we will choose to fill our hearts with and our lives with and spend our very selves for. And I wonder if I could read the lyrics, some of the lyrics. Roll away your stone and I'll roll away mine, this moment of exposure. And together we can see what we will find. Don't leave me alone at this time, for I'm afraid of what I will discover inside. See, you told me that I would find a hole within the fragile substance of my soul, and I have filled this void with things unreal, and all the while my character it steals. As we come to the Lord's Supper, I believe we're challenged by Peter and indeed by God's word to us to take four actions. And the first of those is to leave, not leave here, don't do that, stick around, won't you? Is to leave, decisively leave all that we strive to fill our lives with in the hope that we might find fullness in those things. And Peter speaks of it, doesn't he, there, in terms of emptiness. And I wonder if we can relate to it in those terms. What is it that we have in the blood of Jesus? Something to redeem us, says verse 18, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Peter's obviously speaking to people whose background is a pagan background, not a Jewish Christian people of God kind of a background there, but I'm sure all of us can relate in some way. The Lord's Supper, as it draws us back to the blood and the life of Christ, would have you weigh the things that you have filled that hole inside your heart with. The loves and the lusts and the longings and the pinings. It might be things, the gear and the gadgetry that we fill that hole with. It might be abstract, the self-assurances and the striving and the puffing ourselves up. In moments of clarity, says Peter, how have those things left you? They've left you empty, haven't they? And please do understand what I said to the kids a few moments ago, that in the broader frame, the Bible isn't down about loves and passions. It's not down about the possessions for that matter or longing. It's not down on applying yourself to a life worth living or a pursuit that is worthy of your passion. No, the Bible's not down on those things at all. But Christian, friend, guest today, it is absolutely a call to weigh the worth of your life and to leave behind a life that is lived for too little, be they things or fleeting pleasures or hollow hopes, whatever they are. Second thing to do is to love. Now, let's have a look at these words here, because the L word isn't actually there, love. It's not in the text that God loves you. But I think we'll see the point, won't we? Because if I give for you that which is most precious to me, if I hand that thing over to even to death and to see it destroyed and lose it and turn my back on it for you, then it is, I think, a stupendous, it's this unthinkable thing that God should give his only son for us. And I'm saying that is a love that begs for a reply, not just that God loves us, calls us rather to love like that, inspires us to consider whether we love silver and gold and tech and whatever most in all the world, or whether perhaps we could learn to love in the same manner as the God who's loved us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, for you know that it wasn't with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed or bought back for God from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So leave, love, which leads thirdly to let. If Christ is to fill the hole within our souls, then we must let him act for us. Now, that's the third action, I think, that we called to in this text for before the Lord's Supper. Will you let Christ's death be your own? Will you let him act for your sake? Allow God to choose that Christ should die, that you might find life with God and find fullness with him. 1 Peter chapter 1, down at verse 20, if you cast your eyes down there, he, that is Christ, Christ was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. God chose Christ without my consent. I didn't get a say in it. Before you were born, in fact, before the world had even yet appeared. I wonder, do some of us have a hard time letting others help us? Even when we know we couldn't do it on our own, right? You think of the, I can't remember what age does Creche go up to? 3, brilliant, excellent. You think of the stubborn little two-year-old in their terrible twos refusing to let mum tie his laces. He knows he can't do it on his own. Well, maybe your two-year-old can, but he knows he can't do it, refusing to let, he won't let, do you see? Or the elderly man refusing to let a carer do the very same thing because he just doesn't even have the strength in his arms or the dexterity in his fingers anymore to be able to pull them tight. Or the man in the prime of his life who stands powerless at his wife's side as she gives birth to for the very first time. I think many of us fathers can remember this moment. And all he can do is impotently hold her hand as she, in a sense, absent-mindedly crushes his hand with a strength that neither of them knew she even had before. Friends, you may be here today having never taken the Lord's Supper before in church. May I say it this way, today should be your first day to share the Lord's Supper with us if and only if you are willing to let Christ, to let Christ's blood be for you. Are you prepared to let God? I really hope you are, by the way. I really hope you are for the first time. It's what God planned and prepared from the very beginning. We weren't made to go it alone in life without God. In this life, he made us that we might let God be our God in our lives. So fourthly and finally, life. Oh, yeah, that was the wrong point title up there, wasn't it? I don't know what happened there. Whatever. Anyway, it was let. So there we go. And fourthly, life. Yes, that one's correct. Good. Now, what were those lyrics? Let me read a few more. So we began, roll away your stone and I'll roll away mine, and together we can see what we will find. Don't leave me alone at this time, for I'm afraid of what I'll discover inside. See, you told me that I would find a hole within the fragile substance of my soul, and I have filled this void with things unreal, and all the while my character it steals. Darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I seek. Right, and then there's this shift in the song. And I think he's left now the things that steal and fail to fill him, and he's learning to love, and now he's let, I think, God come near to him, I think is what's happening in the song. And then he looks out upon a new life, so fourthly, life. And he writes this, he sings this, "It seems that all my bridges have been burned. But you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with the restart." Friends, the Lord's Supper isn't about how long and hard our journey back to God has been, or even about how far we've strayed or how heavily you've fallen in life. It's about the welcome that we receive, the life that we receive with the restart with God. Christ intends life for us, a life of faith and hope. The text says life and hope and a life filled and lived before our God who loves us forever. Verse 21, through him you believe in God, as in through Christ. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, perhaps only too rarely in life we do admit to ourselves the hole that is within, that hollowness, the lack that we spend so much of our time and energy and drives and decisions trying to fill. But Father, we admit it to you now and confess our folly and our failing and our sin in trying to fill it with things unreal. Lord God, have mercy on us. And as we approach the Lord's Supper in a few moments' time, may we see Jesus and in him see all that we must leave, and see the one who loves us and calls for us and indeed deserves our love. See one who we can let, and so begin to live again anew, a life full of faith and hope. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together now. So I wonder if we could be sitting in families, if we're not already, with our parents. It's going to be important to the way we share the Lord's Supper here. We do leave it to the parents to oversee their families, and if that's something that you'd like to talk with me about later as to where your children are up to and whether they're up to the right point, then it's a bit awkward for us to have that conversation right now, but I would welcome it later on and we can chat about that. Please let's do that. Now, I'm just a little unfamiliar. That's the Lord's Supper's over here, right? Do I usually stand over there? I stand here. This is how it works. You're coaching me. You're helping me through this. This is brilliant. Thank you. Let me read to you from Matthew 26. In the night before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it. All of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, we come before you with hearts exposed, with our sin before you, with our shame and shortcoming all too apparent. But that is not the final word in our lives, because we come before you in the name of Christ and therefore confident of your grace. You did not withhold even your precious Son that we might find life. So may your grace grow and grow in our estimation, your kindness towards us. May your glory fill us more and more and with joy. Would you nurture our hearts and fill us with hope in Christ as we now share this Lord's Supper, please. Amen.